This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Egel ben Bakar lechatat. Take a carp for a chatat, for a golden chatat, a sin offering. Va'ayil ola tzminim, and the perfect ram for an ola offering. Va'akrev b'fnei Hashem, and bring them on the mizbeach before the Ribono Shel Olam. So Aaron has to bring a chatat. This is the Mishkan is just has just been established. It's just been built, and this is the first actual service, the first use that the Am Yisrael are making of the Mishkan. Then various things happen. By Yomer Moshe El Aaron, Moshe says Aaron, Karav El HaMizbeach, it's your time now. Approach the Mizbeach. They're trying it out. It's like someone designed a new piece of equipment. And you've got to see whether it works. They're trying it out. Ve'atei chatatcha ve'zoratecha. Go and make your korban chatat and your korban ola. Ve'chafer ba'atcha vi'adam. And atone for yourself and the people. What did he and the people do wrong? Egel. There still hasn't been a korban chatat for the egel, the golden calf. Vayikrav Aaron el hamizbeach, and Aaron drew near, vayishkak et egel hachatat asher lo, and he slaughtered the calf for the chatat which he had. Vayakrivu b'nei Aaron et hadam elav, and the sons of Aaron brought blood to him, which is what we talked about last night. Vayitbol et ba'o ba'dam, he dipped his finger in the blood, vayitain al kanot hamizbeach, and he sprinkled it around the corners of the altar, of the mizbeach. Etadam and the rest of the blood, Yachak and Yisola Mizbeach, he poured down at the foundation of the Mizbeach. Then again, various things happen. And then it says, Ve'ir HaChatat Darosh Darash Moshe. And as far as the Ve'ir HaChatat is concerned, now the Ve'ir HaChatat, the lamb, I think it is, which was brought to the Chatat, wasn't. There's discussion in the portion as to exactly which korban it was, but it's a korban chatat similar to the one which has just been performed, and for the same purpose. Darosh darash Moshe. Moshe looks around to find out what happened to this korban, where are the remains of this korban. Vihinei sorat, and he found it being burnt. Everything's gone. Vayiktof al Elazar ve'al Itamar, and he gets angry with Elazar and Itamar, bnei Aaron, the sons of Aaron, hanotarim lemor, the leftover sons, who have died already. Because they worked this piece of equipment without following the instructions. So we thought right at the beginning that this is a dangerous piece of equipment. If it doesn't work right, you can be killed in the process. And Moshe gets terribly angry with Elazar and Itamar, who again have not followed the instructions of the Mishkan. Why on Elazar and Itamar and not on Moshe? On Aaron? Why did he get angry with Aaron? This is Rashi, the prophet of Aaron. He didn't want to take down his brother Aaron. So he got angry with the son, and he knew that Aaron would understand it would apply to him too. And he said, "Madua lo achalkem et hachatzat b'mkom hakodesh? Why didn't you eat the korban chatat in the holy place? Ki kodesh kodashim, it's a holy of holies. The otan atan lachem, and it was given to you by the Ribono Shel Olam la'seit avon ha'eda, to bear the sin of the congregation, l'chaper alehem b'fnei Hashem, to atone for them in front of God. So why didn't you eat it? Behold, this blood wasn't brought al-Kodesh Pnima into the inside of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. In the future, you will surely eat it as you've been instructed to do. What's Moshe so upset about? Well, that didn't eat it. It's a terrible thing. And this is what the Mephoshim battled with on this particular piece of Chumash. What is it that Elazar and Itamar did wrong? And why did they do it wrong? What was their version? Why did they do it in the first place? Anybody see any answers on that? I don't know where that comes from, but the Krayot is the problem. That is of Oinah. No, that's one of the things. Okay, but that doesn't come in. That's something else. The Mephoshim talked about the question of Oinah. I worked out that's not an issue at all. Why? They've been told that they're allowed to eat the korban chatat. That's also ruled out. It's also discussed by the Mephoshim and ruled out. Well, it is. Feel or not feel like it. I mean, you're a representative of the community. Your personal feelings come second. And that's not what he's criticized for. The Kleyoker says that Aaron felt that he was part of that Aveiros. What the Kod Rechat is being brought for the Eger, he was part of the Eger. Trying to part in the Aveiros. We want us to understand what it's all about, and also the continuation that he made. Moshe says, how could you not have eaten it? Why didn't you eat it? After all, the blood wasn't brought inside. This is purely a technical objection. Blood brought inside, blood not brought inside.
The answer?
Which answer?
The answer they're coming
there. I didn't give an answer. I don't see an answer.
Right
at the end. Suddenly he goes on to something else. He says, look now, the day has passed and this is what happened during the day, A, B, C, D. Does that seem right? And Moshe said, yes, everything's fine. That's really not on this issue.
No, he's
scolding him. It's a rhetorical question. No answer at all. He's angry. What's he so angry about? This brings us to understand a little bit about the Korban Chatos. What is this sin offering? Now, the Torah in Vayikra talks about four types of sin offerings. The first one is a sin offering, a Korban Chatos, which is brought if the Kohen HaMashiach, in other words, the Kohen Gadol, has been over an Aveira. But the Korban Chatos is brought for doing an Aveira of the Shogeg. The first Korban Chatos is if a Kohen Gadol did an Aveira of the Shogeg. The second one is if Kol Hadas Yisroel did an Aveira, the whole community did an Aveira. The third one is a Nasi, the king, or the head of a tribe. The fourth one is called Nefesh, Asher Yechta, any individual. So there are four different Korban Chatos, and it is fascinating to learn the differences between these four Korbanos. The primary differences are, what happens with the blood in the various Korbanos? In a Korban Olah, a Korban Olah is brought for not doing something you should have done, right? For not doing a mitzvah asay. A Korban Chatos is for doing a mitzvah lo asay, for doing something that you shouldn't have done. So one is an act of omission and one is an act of commission. In the case of the Korban Olah, the blood was only sprinkled at the top of the mizbeach, around the corners. In the case of the Korban Chatat, a bit of it was sprinkled on the corners, and the rest was thrown at the yisod, the foundation of the mizbeach. In the first two, the Korban Chatat, brought by a Kohen who had made a mistake, or by Am Yisroel, who had been over in Aveira, before the blood was sprinkled on the corners and at the foundation, it was taken into the Kodesh Kodoshim, it was taken into the Ohel Moed, and it was waved and sprinkled in front of the Parochet, which is in front of the Aaron, and over the other Mizbeach, over the golden Mizbeach for the Ketoret, which used to live there with the Shulchan and the Menorah. The blood used to be taken in there. Whereas the other two, if a Nasi, if a king or an individual was Chote, the blood was not taken inside. Why? What is it all about? It seems almost as if the only way we can picture the power of the Mishkan is to see it a little bit like electrical contact. So I'll show you what I mean. The concept of the Mizbeach is an outcrop from the world. Now, the Mizbeach had to be mechuba lekarka, had to be joined to the earth, had it was made of earth. It was like a little hill sticking up. Although it was designed, it had to be the earth growing into a, sort of flowering into a mizbeach. You couldn't just dump a mizbeach down. That's the prime difference between the mizbeach and the bamot, the altars that used to be used by the idol worshippers, which the Torah takes such strong objection to. Those were just plonked anywhere. Whereas the mizbeach is a flowering outcrop of the world itself. The concept being that the Mizbeach represents the striving from the world upwards. That's really what the Mizbeach is all around. It's the fact that we start off as earthy beings, and starting off as part of the world, and unified with the world, and integrated into the world, we flower into Avodas Hashem. The Avodas Hashem mustn't be something separate. It can't be something that you sometimes do and that you don't do. Even in the Beis HaMikdash itself, an area separated from its holiness and its Kedusha, the Mizbeach represents the concept of Kedusha growing out of Chol. Right? Chol means secular, and it also means saint. The connection between the two is the Chol, both the earth and secularity, has to flower into Torah. It's not something which you impose on the secularity. And the two parts of the Mizbeach, two important parts, the Yesod and the Kerem. The Kerem are the antenna. It's not really corners, it's the horns. It's the antenna that strive even further upwards. So the Keranot, the antenna of the Mizbeach, represent man striving still further upwards. With his feet firmly on the ground, striving up. The Yesod is that point at which the earth starts flowering into Kedusha. The Yesod is the foundation, the line where the Mizbeach meets the earth. If a korban olah has to be brought, what's happened? Your connection with the Ribbono Shel is not good. You haven't damaged yourself because you've done nothing. But you should have done something. Why didn't you do it? Because you don't feel sufficiently close to the Ribbono Shel. What you've got to do to rectify that is to take the dam, which is the nefesh, your livelihood, your very living being, and they're right inside the own way. There's a loose connection between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's all that's wrong. That's all that has to be repaired. So in a korban olah, you take your dam, the dam of the animal which represents your own lifeblood, and you go in or you appoint the kohen on your behalf to take that in and dedicate it to the Ribbono Shel Olam inside the own way. What happens when you do korban chatat? A korban chatat does not occur because of a lack of ahava, a lack of a love relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can love the Ribbono Shel Olam and still do something wrong. So? It's rebellion, or it's a holy, you know. That's it. You love the Ribbono Shel Olam and all the rest of it, and you're a good guy, but there are other things in the world too, and you just fall for a moment. It can happen. You're confident about David HaMelech for lacking Avo, and yet he also did Avodah, and he said, "Ein tzadik asher yaseh tov ba'aretz." You can be a tzadik, and you can be yaseh tov, but asher lo yechta doesn't exist. It happens. You're doing Avodah. What has happened then? Your connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam might still be good, but there are two problems. Number one, your yesod is damaged. The foundation of your growing out of the earth, because what a chet is, what an Avodah is an attempt to find compensation in areas other than Ruchnis. That's what a chet is. What is Yetahora? What is Taiva? You need something. You need compensation. You don't feel alive. And instead of finding it in your Gemara, in your Tefillin, or in whatever else you happen to do, you better find it in other outlets. So it's the point where the whole flowers into Torah, where the whole flowers into mitzvah, there's a crack. You don't know how to flower it into a mitzvah, so you flower into other things. That's the one place where the blood has to be spilled. A lot of Mesiris Nefesh has to go into repairing that crack. And as a result of there being a crack there, your antenna aren't working so well either. So Mesiris Nefesh has to go over there as well, and has to strive higher. So for the Korban Olah, the blood is taken into the Ribbono Shel Olam, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. For the Chatat, the blood is all concentrated on the Mizbeach itself, which represents the human striving. It's your own problem. It's not the Ribbono Shel Olam's problem, the Chatat. And Olah is a different thing altogether. Now there's something in between. There are the first two types of the korban chatas. We're told in the Gemara, Rashi brings it, that the korban chatas of the Kohen is not if he does an Avera, but if he paskins incorrectly for others. And somebody acts on the basis of his pshat, that's the korban chatas which the Torah talks about here. Likewise, where Klal Yisrael do an Avera, says Rashi, that doesn't mean Klal Yisrael, that means the Sanhedrin. And it's talking where the Sanhedrin paskened incorrectly and Klal Yisrael followed the pshat. That's the korban chatas they are doing. So now we have four korbanos. The korban chatas if a kohen paskens incorrectly, a korban chatas if the Sanhedrin paskens incorrectly, a korban chatas if a king does an avera, and a korban chatas if an individual does an avera. And we can clearly classify them into two areas: a mistake in pshat and a mistake in action. The first two being a mistake in pshat, the second two being a mistake in action. Now, what causes a mistake in pshat? It is the most incredible sipur ones. The sipur asks why, in the case of the phrasing of the, please learn the sipur after the shiur, learn it. On Vayikra, this is Vayikra, the beginning of chapter Dalit. The sipur asks why, in the phrasing of the fate of the kohen, the first chatos, it says the following: Im hakohen hamashiach yecheta, if the kohen hamashiach sins, la'ashmat ha'am, to the fault of the people. Asked the Tikkun, what do you mean the fault of the people? A kohen sin, not anybody else. So Rashi learns that it means la'ashmat ha'am, it brought about the sinning of the people because they followed his psa. The Tikkun says something else. Kohen, that means to say, שלא תקרה לו שגיגת חטאת זולתי ממופשי עם. It's impossible that a Kohen Gadol would make a mistake in such unless it's been, that has been caused by a stumbling block in the people. Okay. You bring the proof from Gemara Brochus. The Gemara says, Amitpalel v'toh, if a person is davening and he makes a mistake, you daven Shabbos, you hold for Shabbos, or Shabbos for Chol, or whatever it is, you make a mistake in your davening, you suddenly realize, Siman Ralo, it's a bad sign, it means there's something wrong. You've got to check that things are right. You know, something sometimes, it's a Freudian slip. Look at it deeper than it appears. Ve'im shliach tiburhu, what happens if you're davening before the Omud? So the Gemara, Siman Ralo Sholchol, it's a bad sin for the community, not for the Shliach Tzidu. Why does the community got to do with it? The Shliach Tzidu made a mistake. Anyway, I can understand the situation is that we know that the state, you know, that the Hasidim are often criticized for the fact that they have a Rebbe. And the Lacha Meyavetsh, when the Rebbe dies, and all of a sudden somebody else is Rebbe. The Rebbe is an old man who developed his wisdom over many years, and he had experience and all sorts of things. Of course, he used to go to the Rebbe in full confidence and confide in him and get advice from him and follow advice. All of a sudden, the next day, there's a youngster there, or a much younger man without the experience. It's difficult to go and talk to him the way he used to speak to the previous Rebbe. And yet the Chassidim say that the power of a Rebbe doesn't come only from his experience and from his knowledge and from all the rest of it. This we know from the Gemara. I don't know the Gemara, but I've seen it. That a person in a position of responsibility has the siyata d'shmaya, he needs to carry out that responsibility. In Brochus. No Rebbe or Rav or Dayan or Melech or Kohen should think that he could possibly operate the way he does without siyata d'shmaya. It's impossible. No Rebbe could achieve what he does, no Kohen Gadol could have achieved what he could, no Melech could achieve what he would. They go without sleep, they go without eating, they go without the sleep, which is not humanly possible. And Hasidim always say about the Rebbe, the way they uploaded it, to negate Ateva, it's against nature. They're right, it is against nature. And it wouldn't be possible were it not for Siyata D'Shmaya. Now Siyata D'Shmaya is not only in the physical ability to continue, but it's also in the mental ability to cope with the problems the way he doesn't see them correctly. The Rebbeinu Shlom gives the man of the responsibility whatever siyata d'shmaya he needs for that responsibility, provided of course the man has the correct yirushalayim. Same applies to the shliach tzibur. How can I be a shliach tzibur? Everybody should refuse to daven before the yom. The responsibility of the kehillah, not for me. But we don't. We have the guts and the chutzpah to take it on because we know Rebbeinu Shlom gives us siyata d'shmaya to daven as we should, if we daven with as much yirushalayim as we can, the Rebbeinu Shlom does the rest. What happens if you make a mistake? At this time, it was no siyata d'shmaya. Why is there no siyata d'shmaya? They don't deserve it. That's what the Sikuna says here, and he says the same on the case of the Sanhedrin that he passed things wrong. That's why Kehillah mustn't say we've got a rotten law, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But a rotten Kehillah, that's it. Even if all that's rotten about them is that they appointed the law, that's also rotten. Now, there are two kinds of avodas. There's an Avera which is done, Yetzirah, like the classic example, although we don't understand it properly, is the Avera of Dovid HaMelech, the Tav Sheva. You can't say that, that's it, Yetzirah, Dovid HaMelech says it himself. It happened. Despite his relationship with Rebbeinu Shalom, despite his love for Rebbeinu Shalom, despite his tzitzit, despite his clarity of thinking, everything. An Avera can happen. That's it. There's another kind of Avera where you don't know you're doing an Avera. That is, you passed the You really believe you're doing right, turns out wrong. Not because of Yetzirah. Not because you have a Yetzirah for that thing. You go into it honestly and it comes out wrong for one reason or another. For such an Avera, there are two problems. There's a loss of connection between yourself and the Rebbeinu Shalom, and there's also you've damaged your Mizbeach. You've damaged your Mizbeach because you've acted, you've done something which is harmful. So there's a crack at the bottom of your Mizbeach and your connections at the top and the antenna are not wrong. So the blood has to go there, but your blood also has to go inside the Beis HaMikdash as well. Because if you made such a misjudgment, the Yirush HaMayim is wrong. There's something wrong in your man-God relationship. So these two korbanot is a sort of a combination of the Olah and the Chatat. You have the Olah as one korban, you have the Chatat of the Yochid, of the individual, on the other extreme, and then we have these two korbanos, which is called the korban Chatos, that it's brought for paskening incorrectly, and it's similar both to a korban Chatos and to an Olah, because it contains both elements, the Bein Adam Lamokom and the Bein Adam La'Olah. Now, there's one other law that applies both to the Ola and to these korban chatos. In the next sedra, that's Tav, last week's sedra, the Torah said the following: "V'chol chatat asher yuvam midama el ohel moed lechaper bakodesh." Any korban chatos whose blood is brought into the ohel moed for kapora, for atonement, lo teyachel. That korban chatos mustn't be eaten by the kohanim. Ba'esh tisalef, it must be completely burnt, which is again like an Ola. An Olah is not eaten by the Kohanim at all. A Korban Chatos is eaten by the Kohanim. Those Korban Chatos where the blood is taken into the Ohel Moed may not be eaten by the Kohanim. That is, the Korban Chatos brought for incorrect Pshat. Why not? The idea of the Kohen eating the Korban is that the Gemara in Sochim says that Kohanim Ochlim Ubalim Mitkaplim. It's really the Achil or the eating of the Kohen which brings about the atonement of the people. What is the Mizbeach, as we say? It's the flowering out of Chol upwards to the Ribbono Shel. Sometimes you need a magnet at the other end. If you've done an Aveiro, there's not enough drive pushing you up to the Ribbono Shel. So you need someone to pull you up. The eating of the Korban Chatos is exactly that. You bring food to the Kohen. The Kohen represents that perfection of humanity which you're striving for. That's what the Kohen is. What we do with the Kohen, we isolate him on the polarity principle. But if you don't have poles, you'll never achieve anything. You'll never become a Kohen, and you know you'll never become a Kohen. But that doesn't matter. We've got to have Kohenim. We've got to have people who we actually isolate from the day-to-day activities of the world. We lock them up in the Beis HaMikdash as pictures of Kedusha. Absolute, untarnished, untouched pictures of Kedusha. And that's where we strive up to. And if we have our 2 feet on the ground like the Mizbreach, and we strive up to this Kohanim in the sky, we'll be what we have to be. But a person who's done an Avera, a person who's done wrong, hasn't been able to strive up there. What we do is we say to the Kohen, you eat the food. That is his bringing of the food to a man who is kuli kodesh, a man who is totally holy. And his consuming the food which you have brought him establishes that connection again. He pulls you out of the doldrums. He brings you up, you sit down, you see him eating your food. You have a connection with Kedusha again. You're brought back into the circulation of Kedusha. And Mitzvah Shishorim has a lovely section which we'll do under, I've read part of it to you at the very end in the where he talks about Midat HaKedusha, the attribute of Kedusha itself, where he says, a Kodush is not a man who doesn't live in the secular world. He's not a man who doesn't need the secular world. He's a man who's so totally involved with the Ribbono Shel Olam that he himself becomes like a mizbeach. And whatever you put on, whatever he consumes or uses, is raised. The whole concept of a mizbeach is by putting the animal on the mizbeach, you're raising the animal. If a person who is totally holy eats a piece of bread, that bread has the experience of the greatest ambition that bread can possibly have, so to say. There's nothing more than a piece of bread could want than to be eaten by a holy man. There's nothing greater for it. That's it. And that's why we're not opposed to shechita. That's why we're not opposed to eating meat. If you're a mensch, there's nothing greater that could happen to the animal than to be eaten by you. If you're not, there's nothing worse. And he talks about that there. That he says is the concept of the stones of Yaakov. When Yaakov went to sleep, or both stones wanting to have the tzaddik resting on his head, and the two stones started fighting, they became one stone. And he says the concept of giving gifts to Chachomim is the same thing. Various chazals he brings to show that our equivalent today of the Mizbeach is a person who is Kodesh. Now, what about the Kohen eating the food which he brings for Paschaling wrong? Says Elazar and Itama, you see from the first two Korbanos that where the Kohen himself is involved in the wrong, he's not allowed to eat. That's why we don't eat. We were involved in our Vedazah. Says Moshe, you haven't understood what it's all about. And Moshe gets angry. I'll tell you why he gets angry. Why doesn't the Kohen eat from the first two Korban chatos? It's true that it's not the Kohen's fault. as the Sifrinu said, it's the people's fault. If the Kohen, who has Yiras Shemayim, passes wrongly, it's the people who have really done the Avera, not him. And he brings the Korban for them. But the idea of polarity no longer exists. Polarity is that you separate the Kohen from our day-to-day life, and you put him up there on his pedestal, and he epitomizes untouched, untarnished Kedusha. A Kohen who is paskened wrongly because of his environment isn't up there. So it might be his environment's fault, but he's tarnished. He's being touched by it. It doesn't help him eating it anymore. The whole idea of the Kohen eating the Korban is that I, in my depth and the doldrums, me mara makim, I cry out to, from the depths of Avera to the Kohen up there and I say, please eat my Korban chatas. And he eats it and it, I join in and I participate and I see the things happening. I enter the circulation of Kedusha. That's okay if the Kohen represents that pole, which is untouched and untarnished. But if my Avera has affected the Kohen to the point of view that he's already made, to the point where he's already made a mistake and stuck, then he's a useless pole. So we don't. The Kohen doesn't touch it. Says Moshe, do you know what you are saying, Elazar Rizana? You're not eating the Korban chatas. Why are you not eating it? You're claiming it was a mistake and stuck. That's what you're complaining, that the eagle was a mistake in sight, that you actually packed him, that the eagle was right. You packed him back for the people, that's why you're not eating from the Korban chatas. By Yiktsuf Moshe, Moshe gets angry. Don't think this is a Korban for wrong stuff. This is plain, unadulterated Yetzirah. It's an ordinary individual Korban chatas. It's not a Korban chatas for incorrect stuff. And if you claim that it isn't incorrect, a Korban chatas for incorrect stuff, then he's entitled to be cursed, to be angry. Then you were the cause of it. Then I can't even blame the people. Look how many people died as a result of it. And it was all your fault for fasting incorrectly. That, no, it wasn't. It was outright Yetzirah. And that's why Moshe answers him and he says, Hein lo uvayet amay la kodesh penima. The blood from this animal, from this Korban chatas, wasn't taken in. So there was no fault. When the Rebbeinu Shlomo, when I said Moshe, when I instructed you to bring that Korban, it wasn't the Korban for which you had to take the blood into the oil, right? So there was no fault between the connection between the people and the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So don't blame that. Don't blame that there was a distance between you and the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and therefore you made a mistake in Tzak. There was no distance whatever. It was an outright, I've heard it was an outright case of Yetzer Hara, and it has to have an ordinary chatas, and you should have eaten. What they say is interesting, and what emerges is interesting. What emerges is that the polarity exists even in an individual himself. That you don't have to have a Kohen up on there to eat from the Korban chatas. The Kohen can be down here with you. He doesn't have to be on that pedestal. Today we don't have Korbanos. One has to be careful still not to lose the precious concept of using polarity. And we use polarity in a couple of ways. We have to make our own Quranim, because the Quranim today aren't the Quranim on the pedestals. The equipment company excluded. The principle of the polarity is the preservation of perfection. That's really what it is. Even if you can't reach it, have it somewhere. I always say it's it would be so nice if they delivered milk in crystal glasses and crystal bottles, even if I could never afford it. It's so nice to know that it's done somewhere in the world. It sets a standard. Even if you have no hope of ever seeing it, never mind ever having it. Standard, what it means that there is such a standard. The concept of kavuna is, that's the coin inside you. Nurture it over. Keep it. Don't mix it with everything. There are other things that one has to mix, but keep a little spark as something untouched and separate. You want to do an Avera, don't pull that into the Avera. Don't bring that in and don't try and justify it. You have to do the Avera. Keep that clean. Rather do the Avera, not like the first two. Not like where it's a mistake and stuck. Where you justify and you rationalize and all the rest of it. That little spark is the spark that retains the honesty and the integrity in an individual. And build it up, blow it up, nurture it, look after it. Keep it there as a point of reference. Something you can look to and see how you're going. We don't feel it anymore because we're so used to rationalizing and to bring it down into the mud and mushing it in so that we shouldn't have a separation, so that we shouldn't have polarity inside ourselves because it makes us feel like uneasy. We're so used to mushing it all together that we don't even recognize that little spark anymore. Separate it. Don't have chutneys inside yourself. Keep that little phone separate So that even if you're not living as you should be living, even if you're not learning as you should be learning, even if you're not relating to people as you should be relating to people, whatever you do, don't convince yourself that you're doing right. Don't haul the kedusha into it. See things as they really should be, and strive to get to them, build it up. And the way of the building it up is, if you've already mushed that little spark in, and it's mixed up, and you've got shatness inside you, then you've got to take the dam inside, you've got to take the dam, which is Mesiris Nefesh, giving of your life to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to his requirements, and to his mitzvahs, and then coming out again with that same dam and working at the Yesod of the Mizbeach, right at the point where your secularity tries to become Kedusha, at the higher point of the antenna. If you haven't, if you've got the little points looked after, then it's easy. Then the man-God relationship is operating well and efficiently through that little point. And all you have to do is make sure that the dam of the Mizbeach Nefesh exists at the time when you feel that the earth is breaking out into a potential Mizbeach or a potential Aveira. You see that it's a Mizbeach. Put that little spot on top so that the earth can strive towards the little spot, the little spot, so it can flower up to the little spot. Give the food to the Kohen. Feed that little spot. So that little spot in turn can pull you out of your depths. And in fact create a dynamic relationship between you and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and you and Klal Yisrael.